Welcome to the Nations Church Belmont podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
And so the title of my message this morning is Urgent Obedience. Urgent Obedience. Turn to someone and say, Urgent Obedience. Some of us are talking to our spouse. Urgent Obedience. Urgent Obedience. Who knows that obedience is difficult? Obedience is often hard. It's our human nature to want to resist. It's our human nature to want to be rebellious. It's our human nature to not want to listen. It's the flesh, right, fighting the spirit. And often we see toddlers, teenagers, there's just something about those two age groups. They're the most rebellious. Trust me, I have your teenagers on Fridays. They're the most rebellious. I was a teenager not too long ago. We are the most rebellious. But we'll pray for the parents of those age at the end. You guys need that grace. But it is difficult to obey. But the thing is, God tells us to obey because through that, He prunes us and He changes our hearts. Obedience changes our internal world. Prayer will change your external world, but obedience is what changes your internal world. Obedience causes a restraint within you. It causes discipline. The Lord can prune. The Lord can mold you through obedience. See, obedience is the evidence of our love for Jesus. It's the evidence of the work that has been done in our hearts. It demonstrates that the word of God that we've heard has gripped our hearts, has implanted itself in our hearts, and is producing fruit. So most of us are familiar with the story that Jesus tells us about the farmer who scattered seed and how the word of God, some of it landed in good soil and some of it didn't. That's what obedience is. When the word lands, it has to produce something. What it produces is, are you going to partner with what God is doing? That's obedience. Or are you going to resist it? See, in John 14, verse 15, it says, if you love me, you will obey my commands. God wants a people who honor his word and act in obedience. It's his love language. He says, if you love me, you will obey my commands. See, Samuel loved the presence of God. Samuel loved the things of God, so much so that the Bible tells us that he slept by the ark of God, the manifest presence of God on the earth. He slept there every single night. He was obedient and he was humble. He was not yet anointed to be a priest. He wasn't carrying the Spirit of God, but he was still ready to act in obedience. Why? Because he honored God and everything that pertained to him. Then we see Eli, who was the priest and the judge of Israel at the time. He represented God to the people and the people to God. And he was the one who knew the Torah. He was the one who knew the written word of God inside and out. He's the one that God used to release the word for Hannah's breakthrough. However, Eli had lost honor for the things of God. See, according to the law at the time, Eli was required to actually stone his sons, Phinehas and Hophni. Why? Seems intense. But Phinehas and Hophni were priests at the time, and they were meant to take over from Eli. But they were holding the things of the Lord in contempt. They were stealing offerings that belonged to the Lord. They were eating it for themselves. They were sleeping with servants, female servants, who were serving in the temple. They were dishonoring the things of the Lord. And the Bible says that Eli didn't even restrain them. After the Lord spoke to Eli, we see the chapter before this, that God speaks to Eli and warns him. And Eli was apathetic. He didn't listen. He didn't act. But we see Samuel, a 12-year-old boy who had never even heard the voice of God before, like Eli. He couldn't even recognize it when God spoke to him. But his immediate response was, here I am. Here I am. A response of a humble servant ready to do whatever was asked of him. The same response that Abraham had when the Lord appeared to him asking for Isaac. The same response that Moses had when the Lord appeared to him in the burning bush. The same response that Isaiah had in Isaiah 6 verse 8 when he said, I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And he said, here I am. Send me. Samuel did not simply hear the Lord, but was ready to act on his word. We need to be ready to act on his word. We need to have an urgent obedience. That says, here I am. See, James 1, verse 22 to 25, it says, but do not just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and do not obey, it's like glancing at the mirror, your face in the mirror, you see yourself, you walk away and you forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you've heard, then God will bless you for doing it. There's a blessing. There's a reward attached to obedience that you will not find somewhere else. There's a peace attached to obedience that you won't find somewhere else. There's a miracle attached to obedience. There's a breakthrough attached to obedience that you won't find somewhere else. The Lord will bless you for doing it. And for many of us in this room, there are words that God has spoken to you. You know very well that the Lord has spoken to you. Maybe it's the next step in your faith journey. Maybe it's time to join a Connect group. Maybe it's time to get baptized. I don't know what it is. And maybe you've been wrestling with it. You've been wrestling with it. Maybe you've heard a message in these last couple of weeks and the Lord has spoken to you and you've tried to ignore it. But God wants your response to be, "Here I am." God wants us to have an urgent obedience. Because you don't know what's on the other side of your obedience. Hannah didn't know what was on the other side of her obedience. Hannah only desired a child so that she could silence the mouth of her enemies. That's what the Bible says. But God saw Samuel, a prophet who would change the narrative of a whole nation. God saw Samuel, a prophet who would anoint the very first king of Israel. God saw Samuel, a prophet who would be by the side of King David. God saw Samuel. You don't know what's on the other side of your obedience, church. Let's have an urgent response that, "Here I am, Lord. Send me here. I'm scared, Lord. I don't know what to do, but here I am. I'm willing, Lord. Let me be your vessel. Would you use me? Here I am." And parents in the room, I want to encourage you that your kids actually watch how you respond to the voice of God. Your kids are watching. They're listening. They're observing. See, I'm so grateful to my parents. Pastor Gareth was talking about my parents. They're such godly parents, such a beautiful example of what it means to obey the Lord, to have faith in the Lord. See, before we moved here, I was born in Zimbabwe, so I claim Zim. I'm not Shona, but I claim Zim. But my dad, originally, we're from Congo. So my dad actually left Congo looking for refuge, ended up in Zimbabwe. And in Zimbabwe, my mum followed along with my older sister, and our siblings were all born there except Ruth, the last one. But in Zimbabwe, we were living in the city when we were meant to be living in a refugee camp, which was low-key illegal. So, but what was the desire of my parents was for us to actually apply for asylum to move to America because my mom's sister lived in America and it would have been easier. And, you know, everyone wanted to go to America back then. But the Lord spoke to my parents. They applied for America. The Lord spoke to them and the Lord showed my dad a vision in a dream of a map of Australia. But the irony is he never seen Australia before. He didn't know what he was looking at. And then the Lord gave my mum a message saying, I'm sending you to a place that will be good for your children. I'm sending you to a place that will be good for your children. And my parents, they had a choice. Do what made sense. Go to America. It was logical. We had family there. Or obey. Obey the voice of the Lord. Obey the message of the Lord. And I'm so grateful that they obeyed. Because I don't know what my life would look like if they didn't. You don't know what's on the other side of your obedience. It might be something big. It might be something small. You don't know what's on the other side of your obedience. See, Ananias was a man that God used to speak to Paul, which changed everything. Ananias said, "Here I am." The Lord spoke to him. He said, "Here I am. Here I am." Some of us have prayed for things, but the Lord is just waiting for you to be obedient. The Lord's waiting for you to step out in obedience. See, Peter had to step out in obedience to walk on water. Noah had to step out in obedience to build the ark. Some of us are praying for things, but we've heard the word of the Lord. We need to step out. We need to say, "Here I am. I'm your vessel. Use me, Lord. I say yes to your call." See, God rejected Eli not because he couldn't hear God's voice, but because not because he didn't know God's voice, but because he did not obey his word. See, God tells Eli a chapter before, speaking to Samuel, in 1 Samuel 2, verse 35, it says, "I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who shall do according to what is in my heart and in my mind. And I will build him a sure house and he shall go in and out before my anointed forever." God is looking for faithful priests. We are called priests, but God is looking for faithful priests. People who not only hear, but do according to his will, to his mind, to his heart. See, in Luke 6, 46 to 49, it tells us, Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? For everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they're like." He says, this is what they're like. "They are like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on a rock. When the flood came and the torrent struck, the house could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck the house, it collapsed and destruction was complete." We cannot confess him to be our Lord and never do what he says. His word ought to be the foundation of our lives, because the torrent will come, tough times will come. And if your house is not built on his word, destruction will come. But praise God, our God is so kind that he says, build your life on my word. You don't need to be the foundation. You don't need to carry the weight. Build it on my word, that no matter what storm comes, that you will not be shaken. Can I get the band up? Sometimes the Lord will say, it's time to forgive that parent. Will your response be, here I am? Or the Lord says, correct that behavior before it comes something else. Will you be obedient? Or even when it says it's time to be planted, act with urgency. See, I have a testimony. There was a time period where my mom was really considering to move churches because my dad lives abroad and it was getting difficult for her to, you know, understand everything that was happening. English is her second language. And she really, really considered it. But she prayed because she's a prayerful woman. And the Lord spoke to her and said, there's a blessing in this church for your children. And so she stayed. I'm so grateful for my obedient parents. I'm so grateful. You don't know what's on the other side of your obedience, church. See, delayed obedience leaves room for painful lessons to take place. But immediate obedience aligns with the divine timing of God and releases heavenly activities. We must not delay obedience. It's not that the Lord can't restore, because he can. It's not that the Lord can't redeem, because he will. But we must act with urgency. See, there's a thing called divine timing. When we immediately respond, we align with God's timing. We align with what heaven is doing. We release the heavenly activities onto the earth. See, the amount of times I've heard people say, I wish I responded sooner to the Lord. I wish I responded sooner to the call of God. I wish I'd listened sooner. The children of Israel, they wandered an extra 40 years in the wilderness because of a delayed obedience. And we see when Jesus called the disciples and he said, follow me. The Bible says they immediately left everything that they were doing. They dropped their nets, immediately they left and they followed him. But the book of Luke chapter 9, verse 59, it tells us of a different account where Jesus is saying he's calling people to follow him, but they say, first let me go bury my father. First, let me say goodbye to my family. Those things weren't bad, but Jesus is teaching that his voice should be the priority. When he speaks, that we should act with urgency, that we should drop everything and go according to his word. See, in youth, this term, we're teaching on Jesus over everything. And it's based out of a scripture in John chapter 6, verse 67 to 69, where a bunch of disciples have decided to leave Jesus because they're like, we can't understand what you're saying. It's too much. And Jesus turns to the 12 disciples and he says, will you leave me too? And Peter's response is so wonderful. He says, whom should we turn to? Where can we go? You have the words of eternal life. You have the words of real life. See, church, if we believe that Jesus has the words of real life, of eternal life, then when he speaks, we should act with urgency. It's the words of life. It shouldn't be a suggestion when we hear the Holy Spirit. There should be an immediate, urgent response that builds up within us, like says, yes, Lord, I'll be obedient. Here I am, Lord. Whatever you require of me, Lord, I'm ready to lay it down. Obedience is costly, but our obedience will never compare to the price he paid. I'm so glad. I'm so glad. He's always speaking, Can you hear him? And when you hear him, will you obey? Will your response be, here I am? See, sometimes the world will teach that freedom is appealing. Their version of freedom is appealing. But their version of freedom cannot carry glory. Obedience helps us to carry glory, to bring the things of heaven onto the earth. Jesus practiced obedience. Why? Because he was carrying glory. He was bringing the agenda of heaven onto earth through obedience. We must act with urgency. See, Jesus says to Peter, Peter, do you love me? Peter says, yeah, of course I love you, Lord. He says, feed my sheep. There's a command. He says again, Peter, do you love me? Of course I love you, Lord. You know I love you. Look after my flock. There's a command. Peter, do you love me? He says, I love you, Lord. He says, feed my sheep. His love language is obedience, church. We can't say that we love him and not do what he says. See, obedience helps us step into a greater intimacy with Jesus. There's a greater spiritual maturity in obedience. And God is looking for a people who would not just listen and hear, but take urgent action. And this morning, I believe that he's looking for the response that Abraham had. He's looking for the response that Moses had. He's looking for the response that Isaiah said, that said, here I am. He's looking for the response that 12-year-old Samuel had when he said, here I am, Lord. Will your response be, here I am? No matter how small, no matter how big the request is, will it be, here I am? See, we obey because we love. It's not a burden to obey. Pastor Gareth shared that scripture before. We obey because we love him, because we trust him. Because we say, our life is in your hand. My life for your glory, Lord. He's looking for a generation of people who will say, here I am. Here I am, Lord, send me. Here I am, Lord, transform me. Whatever you desire, here I am. Come on. I encourage you to close your books, bow your heads and close your eyes.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Belmont.